For September the 26th, 2025, we talk about Oxa, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, Vintage Story, and much more. Welcome to Level 559. My name is Kay Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Another last minute freestyle.
Yeah. Life keeps happening. I try to make it stop, but...
Okay. Wait, Tell me more about how you try to make life stop.
Oh, no.
Not the conversation I expected to be having.
But... A dark opener.
Oof.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Freudian slip here.
But the good news is we didn't have to wrestle with your audio, Dennis.
It seems
like you fixed it by logging in on a different computer.
Okay.
I said seems. Okay. I didn't say you fixed it.
Okay. I'm nervous. Knock on some wood.
So far, so good, is effectively what I said. Yeah.
30 seconds in, all sunshine and roses.
Yes. Since you're here, I'll let you go first for the banter.
Yeah. So I had posted to our backstage Slack, my oldest had a drums recital this weekend, which was very proud of him. He did great. And like all recitals, there was a wide range of talents performing, but I had the most surreal experience of my life when one kid got up to play Eye of the Tiger.
Okay.
And, you know, I saw that on the list. I was like, oh, that could be sweet. Like, okay, that's cool. Uh-huh. And at these recitals, you know, everyone is playing with a backing track.
Okay. Yes. That they have to keep time to.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's, you know, I guess you could like do a jazz drum piece that's just percussion, but you know, kids want to play songs they know.
Yeah.
So Eye of the Tiger, sweet. This kid gets up and, you know, most of the time the kid sits down on the stage, nods over to the person running it. The person running it starts the backing track and they go. This kid sits up and like a boss just goes straight into playing like the cymbal hits and mutes. And the person on the, you know, on the side with the track is like trying to wave, get his attention. Like, hey, what, you know, she literally stands up and starts walking to the stage, like waving her hands like, hey, there's a track that I got to start. And you know, and she can't start the track now that he's halfway through.
Oh.
Eventually she just gives up and this kid plays his entire piece, Eye of the Tiger, without any other music.
Okay.
And it's, to his credit, from what I could tell, it was perfectly functional. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he was doing all the fills and stuff, but he kept time pretty well. But he gets done and, you know, everyone's just kind of sitting there in stunned silence. Like, you know, someone should probably interrupt him so he can start over, but no one wants to be the one to do that.
Right.
So he gets all the way through, people clap. And then the person goes up and like whispers in his ear for a bit, turns to everyone and says, okay, we're going to do it again. We're going to do an encore with the track. It's like, oh man. Like,
yeah.
Okay. If I'm like the parents of the kid and I want to take the video and whatever, fine.
Yeah. The drum part of Eye of the Tiger alone is not the most involved thing. It's a pretty straightforward.
No, pretty straightforward. It's, you know, it's like I said, it's got those muted cymbal hits right at the start that are pretty distinctive. So she starts the track and the kid, like, you know, he was locked in the entire time. He had sheet music in front of him and, you know, was dead focused on that.
Yeah.
So he nods, she starts the track and he immediately starts playing again with no relation to the backing track.
Oh.
Like completely out of time. He was in time for himself.
Okay.
But the backing track is now also playing with probably like 3 seconds between where he is and where the song is. And we go through the entire song a second time.
Oh.
With him, like, again, the kid was locked in and doing his thing. And like, I don't think he was off internally, but in relation to the outside world, this kid was on another planet.
Yeah.
And so, you gotta clap again at the end.
Yeah.
A strong, like, I've never felt such a strong sense of like, is this real? Is this happening from an audience before?
Was everybody just like looking around at each other?
Yeah. Like, are we doing this? It's, he can't keep getting away with it. So it was very fun to see Luke perform. And then it was absolutely wild to see the other kids perform, specifically the one kid with Eye of the Tiger.
I forget what song did Luke play. I watched a little bit of the video.
Oh yeah. So it was Dance Kid Dance by Shinedown.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He heard it like once on Alexa in a random mix of rock music when it was time for him to pick his song, and he picked it and stuck with it. I don't think the song has stuck around particularly. Yeah, but it's good. It's, you know, it's upbeat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he had a lot of fun with that.
Cool.
And I will never listen to Eye of the Tiger the same way.
you're gonna hear that great like the end of the chorus, you know, da 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 da, where it's just a hit on each of those. Yeah. Like it goes like almost like a three each time, but like in the middle of the next verse.
Oh, I'm gonna have a twitch. But yeah, what's up with you?
I remember the first song that I sang at karaoke was Eye of the Tiger, because my stepdad was a big Rocky fan. And he just like, for some reason, he would just always listen to the Survivor's Greatest Hits, which is just all Rocky songs, you know, in the car. Yeah. So yeah.
It's like Smash Mouth and Shrek.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, almost exactly. Yeah. I really don't have much of anything. Like if I was honest about the just series of bummers that you just kind of have to soak to continue existing. This past weekend was mostly just me downtime after the big content migration. I really wore myself out with that. So a lot of reading, a lot of just sprawling.
I can't decide if that was Herculean or Sisyphusian.
I mean, Herculean, I got it done. There's only like a little bit left, and that just has to do with a feature that I need to be confirmed that if I don't confirm that the feature is done, I would have to go and re-upload 100.
Oh my god.
100 things, because I uploaded them. It's the Watch Out for Fireballs episode previews. If the feature works as they want it to, it'll be really great, because we won't have to do two separate posts for that. This is all in the weeds. Nobody fucking cares. But I did all of those. You know, I just, you know, here 100 tabs, and then just went in one by one, working down a spreadsheet, making sure I hit every single one of them. And then like the next day, I was like, I'm just gonna go in and take a look. And why is this preview 5 minutes? Why is it the automatically generated one? And I went back and checked, and just for some reason it didn't hold them.
Oh, no.
So realistically, that's another like 40 minutes of work, but I don't want to have to do 80 minutes of work. Yeah.
So everyone, if you see the headline of like trans girl walks into the ocean from Ohio,
walks into Lake Erie, walking into the Lake Erie isn't deep enough. Shit. No. Halfway to Canada. How about you, Ben?
I had a Dune themed weekend, I guess. Okay.
Doom or Dune?
Dune. I had some
bees?
Wait, what?
Bees. Bees.
I had some friends come up from Portland, and they just brought their 1.5-year-old, and it's their first time traveling with their kid, at least here. And
they gotta see Dune sometime.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is the 1.5-year-old a chosen one? Also, 18-month-year-old, please.
TBD. And okay. And but the dad really wanted to play a board game because I hadn't played in a while, so we settled on the Dune board game, Dune Imperium. And then my partner had never seen the first Dune movie, so we ended up playing that in the background while playing.
Oh.
And it all kind of gelled together.
The first in the most recent series, or the first done by David Lynch?
The first in the most recent series.
Okay.
We wanted it to be a positive experience and
not something that's sad for everyone. Baby here. Come on.
So it was a good time. I don't know. Just mostly did hosting duties and stuff over the weekend. But
cool.
Yeah.
Is your new place a little bit better for hosting? Because I know like you had to have like tents set up in your old apartment.
In this case, we didn't have to host anyone in that regard. So it was mostly just coordinating where to meet and go and stuff like that. Yeah. I guess it was easier from that regards. But this was the first time that they got like a hotel room since they had a kid. And it,
right.
So it's made that transition now. So
yes, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that sounds like banter to me. We should talk about the games we have been playing. To do that, we need to do the regular kind of show. What with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the last period of time or so. Who has something new?
Oh, Ben has a finger raised.
Okay,
I have one new thing. If that's good enough, I'll start.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I broke down and I got the early Silent Hill F because I want to get.
Oh yeah.
I want to get ahead of where I'm going to stream this weekend, and the only way to do that is if I play it tomorrow. So, I have it, but I've not played it. So, like, otherwise, I'd be headlining with that. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a pre new one. Okay.
So Ben needs to be as good as Silent Hill F.
Well, we don't know how good it is.
Or better.
So. Okay, I feel like I can. All right. Anyway, my mind just jumps to what? How do you compare to Noel? Anyway, I need to get my head out of other stuff. The game. Okay. I have one new game and only one game this week, and okay. The game is called Aska. A-S-K-A.
Aska.
This is an early access game, and the best that I can describe it is a combination of a factory game and a Valheim game. And those are two cool things. And so far, this has been about the sum of its parts. Okay. It's been a pretty good experience. So, again, it's early access, so it's not all the way finished. I've played it for about 15 hours so far. Similar to Valheim, you're dropped off on an island and you're told to go. You can start collecting resources pretty immediately. There's a little bit more of a learning curve about how you collect things and how to kind of process them. You can pick up things like thatch nearby or rocks, like stray rocks on the ground. But eventually they tell you a task where it's like they give you kind of a guide of like different objectives in this like tier to go for. And then they have like three different kind of meta tiers of like early game, mid game, end game. And so they give you enough of a guide to kind of start to figure things out. So it's not too, too hard. But basically one of the first things you build is something called an Eye of Odin, which is this giant spotlight in the sky for every five of these resources that you get. And when you activate that, it brings a villager to wherever that is.
Uh-oh.
And then once you have a villager, you basically tell them what to do. And so what they can do is they can build things by default. And once you've built structures, you can tell them to work at those structures. And then they'll have a dedicated job there. For more complicated buildings, you can give them individual jobs of what to do at a building. And you basically scale up from there.
Do you have to feed them?
You do have to feed them and give them water and give them a place to stay.
Okay.
So yeah, your mileage may vary on that, but yeah, it gets progressively easier. Like at the beginning, you're building these like rinky dinky huts around a fire, but after a while you can build like basically log cabins where you can put like 6 to 10 people. And then the main complexity of the game is there's just kind of explosion of different buildings. I would say I probably have like a dozen buildings or so. And it starts to get more complicated where it's like you're doing things like you build a pit of like fire logs to burn to make coal. And then you use the coal to start smelting like iron ore. So you can get iron axes and picks or whatever. So it's kind of like a similar vibe as like, I guess like, you know, Stardew or Valheim or anything like that, where it's like you're upgrading your tools to get to the next tier so you can do more in the world.
This is so similar to something that I'm going to bring to later on. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah,
some
so
water.
It has that basic sort of the upgrade mechanics, I guess, where it's like, you know, it gets more and more complicated as you go on, so more and more involved. But there is like a good joy to managing the colony and like making like a village that's kind of running autonomously. Yeah. You slowly transition off of manually doing tasks, like, for example, making food at the campfire, to assigning a person to that, and then they do that, and that's their main job.
Yeah.
So it kind of scales up. Like, the main resource that your bottleneck is, you have to, like, go and find these resources to light your bat signal to call more villagers, but...
Is that a little bit like the space elevator in Satisfactory, where like it gives you a task and then you sum that up and then it?
It's not that tied to like the milestones. I would say there's like one building in particular that's like it's called like a workshop, and it's very like open. It's kind of open ended, where it's like you can make attachments to it for specific things. So you can do like something that processes linen there, or something that processes leather, or something that processes metallurgy, like where you can make like a axe head if you have like iron ore there and stuff. And any one person who's working at the building can like man any one of the attachments there. Once you level up that building, that's kind of what opens up like the next tier. Like you can make a carpenter there, and then they can upgrade like all your buildings from there. I would say one of the cooler buildings that I found most recently is you can build a mine, but you need to find a very specific like rock formation somewhere on the map. The map's randomly generated, by the way. And once you do that, it's like a path that goes inward, and you have to like get a torch and like light it, and you can progressively dig through walls until you get into this like mine where you can get a bunch of iron ore and you use that for like the mid-tier game. That's really cool. And then you start seeing like bosses placed throughout the map. So there's like, I've ran into two, and so there's like one by a shipwreck on a coast, and there's one on the inside of the mine, like the very inside, that I completely got decimated, the one that I tried to fight. So like that kind of gives you like I guess similar to like Valheim, that's like kind of your boss fights that you need to like kind of build up for. And then I'm not sure what you get when you beat them, but but that seems to be the main like challenge to go after, is like find those in the world and defeat them and then go from there.
Right.
How
in early access is this?
I think it came out sometime last year, was like the early access,
like 15 months ago, something like that.
Yeah, like May of 2024, I believe. So it's not like I haven't dealt with like crashes or anything like that. Like, it seems like a pretty complete experience right now. I just don't know like what the mid to end game's like. There's not, at least so far, I haven't really found any like specific like biomes or anything like that. It's mostly like there's a coast, there's a woods, and there's a plains, and that's about it. But they're not, it's not like Subnautica, where it's like very clearly like, oh, now I'm in this biome. They're very kind of organically next to one another, and you kind of go in and out of them like really fluidly.
Nice.
So do either of you have a guess as to what Aska means in either Swedish or Norwegian?
No,
I have no idea.
I guessed axe before I looked it up.
Okay.
Which is featured prominently in the cover art, I will say.
Yeah, it's Viking. They're going to have axe.
Yeah, it's ash. So I'm curious, does ash play a role anywhere? Are you getting into volcanoes or anything like that?
I haven't seen that. The onset of the game is like you get shipwrecked by this like giant god in the ocean that's like kind of looks like Ghost Rider but blue. Perhaps that's something that's like the final boss that you need to fight eventually. But no, I haven't seen Ash anywhere yet.
I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah. I mean, like what this sounds like to me is almost like if Bethesda decided to make an Elder Scrolls game that was leaning into like the base building stuff from Fallout 4. Right.
Yeah. I could see that comparison. One other thing that I'll mention too is the game that you create is very like configurable. Like you can do multiplayer in this, and it's like they have dedicated servers. But you can also like kind of set the settings on the world like that are somewhat like finely tuned, where it's like you can set the day night cycle. You can set what season you start in. I don't think I've gotten out of spring yet, even, because I've had two games that I started. The first one I played for a bit and then people started raiding my base and I'm like, I'm not prepared for this at all. So I'm let me start over.
Real people or like
it's kind of like in Zelda where it's like a blood moon will happen and then like monsters will come and you have to like fight them off. Yeah. If you die, there's this weird thing where you either respawn and you have your attributes like hit a little bit, because this is like Bethesda in the sense of like the more you chop down trees, the better your tree chopping skill is, and the more you mine.
That's also how Valheim did it.
So same thing with like mining, metallurgy, like any of that. They all like have their own level of system. What?
Jumping?
That might be an exception. I don't think there's anything like that. Even you can roll and sprint. I don't think any of that gets upgraded. I think that's all like default.
Trash
but exactly. So you either take a hit to those stats when you respawn, or you take over the life of one of your villagers and then become that person, which is like weirdly a weird mechanic to add into the game, but okay. So
is
anyway,
there character creation in this? Like, are you customizing an avatar when you start?
You can pick male, female. There might be more custom configurations of that I ignored. I just took like the default person. But all that's to say is basically the second one that I played, I basically turned the bad guys off. So I'm doing the Factorio treatment of this, where it's like, I don't want to mess with that. I want to build my base, and then I want to engage with the enemy and like deal with it on my terms. So I was happy that there are settings for that. That was a plus for me. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that might be another thing I might do, is try and get friends to come and play this and see how it works as like a multiplayer experience. But yeah.
Nice. Were there any places where the procedural generation felt wonky?
No,
you
not that
things blended together pretty well, but
yeah, I haven't seen anything like that yet. There are, it seems like, landmarks eventually that you hit, like, so similar to the mine, like when I found the mine, like a banner comes up and says like, oh, unexplored mine. Similarly, there's like a giant lake that I found while exploring. So I do think that there's like landmarks that are randomly placed, that have some significance. I'm guessing maybe like boss fights and stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, yeah, nothing seems too bad with the random seeds. So. Yeah,
sounds neat. Yeah, the getting sims that you can use to automate, like designating a task, sets this apart to me. Otherwise, it would feel like, it is as many other survival games are. But that is the thing that sticks out to me, is like, oh, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. And like, there's definitely like a dream in your head of like, once I get enough resources, I'm going to build the perfect town, but you never quite get to that point.
You're
like,
today
I need to figure on whatever is breaking right now. But
it's also just like such a cool thing where like, in order to get to the point where you're getting the people, you have to do all the jobs yourself. And so you know, okay, I really need, like, I do not want to make these arrows every single fucking time. I need a Fletcher, right?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So you get to live in something and then decide, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the seasonal aspect, because it sounds like reading what the game talks about, it sounds like surviving the winter is a big test that happens every time you get around.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that. I have it on maximum day night settings right now, so days and nights are like super long. So I imagine I won't see that for a while, so I'm hoping I'll have an empire by that time and not have to worry about it. But
it'll be interesting to see how the game changes as you're in that phase, like, you know, no longer able to produce the way you were, and you know, so what are you doing in that time? Is everyone just huddled indoors? Are you you know, how do the tasks change, and you know, how does that change the balance of the game?
Yeah, they do give you like multiple avenues for certain things. So for example, like food is the big one, where it's like you have a hunting lodge where you can like assign people tasks for them to go out and hunt animals that are like in the world and then bring back the meat. And then you know, somebody can prepare that into food. You also have like a farm building where you can just tell somebody like, here's what I want you to grow. And they'll like till the land and grow it and like take out weeds and whatever. There's like a, a restroom you can use that you can put next to that, where it's like people go there and then they use like the poop or whatever to put in the fertilizer for like the ground and stuff like that. Yeah. Or there's like a fishing hut, which I haven't even engaged with yet, where you can build that by the water and like have people fish if you want. So it's like, they at least give you a lot of options for how to engage with that. So I assume that like during certain seasons, sometimes those are stronger than others, but
yeah. Yeah. It's like, are you gonna do some ice fishing over the winter? We shall see.
And maybe. They also have like a warehouse aspect too, is like a building that you can build, and that's where you could like manage all your inventory. So I suspect that might be a way to do with food too, where it's like you just populate that with food and then hope it, you know, holds over the winter, like that sort of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Like, and if you got a bunch of hunters, like, do you have someone to salt the meat? That kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well. Sounds cool. Also sounds a lot like something that I've been playing. Are either of you familiar? Were you done, Ben? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Are either of you familiar with Vintage Story?
No.
It's not on Steam, which was something that kind of got in the way. It's a game that my electrolysis technician has been talking about. And I kind of, you know, over the weekend was like, I want to start something new. I want something with that kind of like city builder or survival game kind of dopamine cycle. So I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, let's give that a shot. I would like to call it, it's Minecraft with more steps.
that's not necessarily a positive in my mind.
So. That sounds a bit daunting.
Keep talking.
It's it's kind of like, I think it was me talking about My Summer Car where I said it's like Quap, but for living.
yes.
This is Quap, but for Minecraft. So like this started as a Minecraft mod, is what it was. And then it kind of like got so involved that it had to break off into its other thing. And when I say extra steps, what I mean is like more and more stuff is simulated to it. So like, okay. You can't just like run up to a tree and punch it and then use that to make a wooden pickaxe that will slowly but surely let you get some copper ore to make it into copper to go after steel or to go after iron to get iron. And then, you know, like that, I'm not even at the point where I'm just at the point where I'm capable of making a copper pickaxe. And like the production chain for that is, well, you need wood, but you can't take it down with your bare hands. So you find flint on the ground and it has a napping system where you put the flint on the ground, interact with it, and then you select like what shape it is and you knock out individual pieces of the voxel to make the head of whatever tool you have.
Then
you turn it into the thing, you turn it into a crude axe, you know, and you knock down a tree, you get that. You have to go searching for clay. It's not just, I make like a little V of clay to make a thing. You has a similar thing where like you have to build up like the shape of the vessel of whatever you're making to actually have it. And then you have to fire it. Well, you can't build a kiln yet. So you have to do a pit kiln, which is you put the raw clay thing at the bottom of like a 1x1 little hole. And then you put dry grass sticks and then firewood on top of it, light it. And then in 24 hours, it will be fired. And then you have that.
Game time or IRL time or
in game time, like okay. It's roughly like an in-game day. You can't just like go up and get copper ore like from a copper block because nothing you have can break that stone. So you're stuck trying to find copper bits, maybe just on the ground, maybe just, you know, open on the floor inside of a mine. Or you can make yourself a pan and go sifting to try and find copper nuggets. You can't smelt it with your wood because the wood doesn't get hot enough. So
Dr. Stone.
I don't know what Dr. Stone is. What?
It's an anime about a scientist that has to rebuild society up from nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is this as a game. I would be Very surprised if there's not like a skin inspired by Dr. Stone in here.
I'm sure that at least that would have been modded in if that's popular. Mm-hmm. Huge mods, you know, a lot of mods for this. So you have to make charcoal, which involves digging a pit, like the charcoal pit that Ben was describing in Ask. And you have to load it with firewood. You have to make sure that it's all but one block is covered, so then you can light the fire on top. If there is any air in it, it will just combust and you'll just be left with ash. There's nothing. It has to be completely airtight. And then cover it up with dirt within time. Have to wait another in-game day and then come back. And then you have to use a shovel to dig out your charcoal. You use that to take your fired crucible, heat it over the burning charcoal with the copper bits inside. And up to the right temperature, and then it will melt. You have to take tongs, pick up the crucible, and then pour it into the mold, and then wait for it to cool so you can have the head of whatever tool you want to get.
Well, where are you getting the tongs if you can't smelt yet?
You have it is wood with twine in between.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that maybe
tongs.
Yeah, twang. Yes, I think.
Hey,
yeah.
We don't use that word here. All right, it's offensive.
Yeah. So, like, that is like roughly, and then it gets more involved from that. Like, you have to like find the adjutants to like smelt different, you know, smelt different things. Like, you can't just kill an animal and make like stuff out of its skin. You have to like either make a crude pelt by rubbing it with fat, or you have to go and find some chalk that you can grind up into lime, make a lime solution, and treat the pelt with that. Yeah. So like, I don't know how much I'm going to stick with this. Go ahead.
I'm just realizing, Kay, that you play video games as a form of flagellation, it feels like.
where do you get that idea?
So I'm watching the trailer, and these are a couple lines that are
watching
in the
streams.
Yeah,
as positives, like the way they're advertising their game is cook any of 350,000 different meals.
Yeah,
are possible in the game, and mm-hmm. then as you're going along, and you might need this, Kay, because you're probably getting to the point that it'll matter. you need to remember to rotate your crops.
Yes. Yeah. There is, like, you can look at your tilled soil and see like the three nutrients in it, and you have to go find sources of potassium or nitrogen to layer into it.
Wild.
The beans have to take turns. Yes. yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder how badly you can screw things up if you're not paying attention.
I don't know. So like, it's pretty, you can like play with options to make it like hardcore mode or whatever. If you die, and like for the first little bit, this was just a getting eaten by bears simulator. like if you die, you just go back to your spawn point, and then just, you go back to your little hut that you have. Can start from there. It's not especially punishing. Screwing up, I don't know, all you do is waste time. It seems like, you know, like, oh, I harvested the wrong thing. Well, that plant's going to have to, you know, whatever. Again, I'm going to need to wait for that to grow after I replant it. Stuff like that.
And is the time truly wasted if you were having fun?
I don't know that fun enters into it.
Wait, you do this for fun?
Wait a minute. I'm on a different planet here. Yeah. there is like a hunger meter that you have to keep full. It is very easy to die of hunger, but there is also like just different bars for like how well-rounded your diet is. So like if you're just eating, if you're just eating cranberries, you know, like just the fruits bar is full up, but unless things are kind of like roughly even, your hunger growth rate is higher, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do they have a poop hut that you can turn into compost?
No, not that I've seen. Maybe there's a mod for that. You do not have to defecate. There is no pee meter.
Yeah, what that was like a Tarkov or something like that.
Good. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, like I think that gives you like a little bit of an idea of what it is. It's I don't know, it was cheap on Humble because of, you know, my subscription on that. I'll probably play a little bit more, but honestly, Aska sounds a little bit more my speed with the automation stuff. I don't know that you end up getting any kind of like automation with it.
Well, this does another of those title cards that I mentioned is Reinvent Medieval Industry.
Yes.
And I see what looks like metal pipes and like a cog wheels,
yep,
et cetera. So yeah. Maybe you could get there.
You end up like in a steampunk kind of thing eventually with it. I don't know that I'm going to have the patience for that. Even I have limits.
It's kind of a funny. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm curious the logistics of like how they sell this, if it's like a mod on top of Minecraft.
I think that they like basically reverse engineered it, which is fair game because Minecraft was reverse engineered off of Infiniminer.
it is its own cross-platform engine.
Yes.
So yeah. Not on top of anything else.
Yeah.
Inspired by, for sure. But
the project started as, and it's obviously inspired when you look at the graphics. But mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a story, there's lore, there's ruins you can get into, all of that. But that's kind of the thing that I've put the most time into, and by most time I mean like 4 hours.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Any questions about it?
No, I mean 4 hours to reach the Bronze Age is pretty good.
I'm not at the Bronze Age yet. I need to be able to smelt tin in order to make bronze. So I would have to find
copper
lead.
Age?
I would have to find lead deposits. I'm in the Copper Age. Yes.
Copper Age.
Yes.
Sorry, I oversold.
Like My Summer Car, this is a game that looks really interesting, but I don't know if I can force myself to play it. Or it seems so hard and punishing.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if there's like brewing, because in My Summer Car, you could make the sugar liquor. And that was very involved with the ratios and like making sure that you listen for the bubbles to stop.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's the question becomes like, how granular is this engine under the hood? Like, are they literally simulating chemical reactions, and how crazy does that allow you to get if so?
I don't know that it's at the molecular level.
Never. We're not too far away, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. So, another thing that I have two small ones, from my streams, follow up from last week. I streamed that silent cleaning game.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the advert game, made by that Japanese cleaning company, cleaning products company, where you are, using their cleaning products to clean a house where a terrible thing has happened and it's haunted. Problem is, it's not very fun.
Oh,
it didn't look like it.
No. So there's not really a penalty for death, which is nice, but there's only one kind of enemy, and it just kind of like slowly walks toward you and corners you, and there's no way around it. And then you just die and have to go and try again.
When you're cleaning a bathroom, there's not a ton of alternate exits.
No, no.
Funny enough.
Yeah. So, and like everything you do makes a noise. So it's kind of a stealth game, but the environments are not big enough that it's predictable, like that you're going to be safe when you're doing anything. Mm. There's a story. I know there's like an alternate ending that I could have gotten. Like there are hints at things, but I just got the one where you escape in the morning. Yeah. So like for a free advert game, I think it is, interesting, but as a cleaning game, not very good. And as a horror game, not very good. Yeah.
Bummer.
A little bit of a bummer.
At least it was free.
It was free. It was a little clunky because it was, you know, the text is all in Japanese. It's not translated, but, the iPhone, Translate app, if you like point it at text that's in a different language, it'll pop up. Like, you can take a photo of the text and then see a very, very rough translation of what it was. So, like, I was able to discern what each of the products was and what it was for and all that, just by using that. So that was interesting. It would not work for any game that was like faster than this. It'd be very tedious to do it, but for like a 2-hour stream, it was a fun novelty.
I'm forgetting what game it was now, but I used that for just the menus of some random game I was looking at. But so like getting through the menus, that'll help you out with as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any questions about silent cleaning?
You said there was lore. Is there like, can you give any comprehensible explanation of what was going on?
You find a lab. Apparently, the person who lived in this house before you were before you were brought here to clean it up, was trying to develop the perfect cleaning product. Like, there's a lab where it's like all of the, you know, different fixtures and stuff, and there are monsters chasing you. I think what happened is, like, in the process of trying to make this, the person who owned it ended up creating the things that are haunting you or whatever, is my best guess at what it is.
Yeah. It's an origin story for Mr. Clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made the homunculi, which would eventually congeal into Mr. Clean. Yeah. The other thing that I played was a little bit of a bust. It's called Aberration Analyst.
This is a very green game.
Yes, which is a little bit of a trademark style of this developer. I want to look up the name. This is the developer who made Cyclopean, that game, that dungeon crawler, the Dreamlands dungeon crawler that Jala has talked about. This is, I want to see where it ranks in his Aberration Analyst. She's going to have this developer on her show here for an interview, Schmidt Workshops. This is relatively recent. It's the most recent game that they made before Cyclopean, the Great Abyss. So they have a couple before this. This is a game where you are somebody who is responsible for investigating supernatural activity by kind of like looking at a map and reading kind of the tabloids for these reported monster kind of encounters that people are having, and like paying to check the police reports and the coroner's reports to kind of like cross-reference the tabloid stories with those reports to see if there's anything actually going on here, and then making sure that you bring the right specialist along as you go to investigate them to survive and get clues about where the next one will be. And like, each of the monsters has their own little, like their own kind of pattern. Like, oh, the witches all converge from a central point. The werewolves are always clustered in a particular area. The wendigos tend to move across the map, stuff like that. My problem is that it is way too stringent with the numbers, right? Like, you can make about like $8,000 on a good job, but like, the staff for a particular job might be anywhere around like 5,000 to 6,000. And reading a police report costs 1,000 and a coroner's report costs like 2,500. So I couldn't find a way to break even.
What was the average payout in Poltergeist?
I don't know. I forget.
It was like tens of dollars or something. So.
Yeah. Are you talking about Phasmophobia?
What did I say?
You said Poltergeist. I was like, I don't remember them.
Oh, yeah. No, Phasmophobia.
I don't remember the movie enough, yeah. Dennis.
That's what I was thinking. Is it's like probably about the same paycheck, except it's a higher gain and loss, you know?
Right. Yeah. Not eating well, paranormal investigators. There's a whole movie about it. Yeah. So, it was just a little bit too stringent. I tried a bunch of runs. It's roguelite in a way, like the map and the clues are all randomized. The thing that's like persistent is the book of lore that your people find, like information, like that, those patterns that I mentioned about the, you know, how wendigos move and stuff. It just felt tuned too hostily to be especially fun. But like right as I was kind of honing in on what a case would be, I ran out of money and then died.
So it's not just a time tax to like grind up some money. You can like soft lock yourself.
Yeah. You can soft lock yourself. You get a game over if you run out of money or if your entire Rolodex of investigators dies.
Oh.
Yeah. So
to fix it, they just need to add a debt mechanic. And then it's this weird simulator of going more and more into debt as you're trying to work harder and harder.
The American dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah. It's too bad. The aesthetic looks really good on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. And the only other thing that I played is, there's the demo for Anno, oh God, what is it? The numbers always add up to 9. Anno 117. The Anno series, city builders, economic sim, strategy game kind of thing. The demo for the new one came out. This one takes place in Rome. The last one was Anno 1800. So it was like, early 19th century kind of stuff. Just by virtue of that, I need these cowers to make Anno 2007 because I want to see what that would be. This felt like another Anno game to me. There are quality of life decisions, you know, to it, but also the demo was gated to an hour. You can't really get a good sense of what's going on in a game like this. An hour is basically not enough time to do anything.
No, that's enough time to read like the first tutorial text.
Right. So
Crusader Kings 3 hour demo.
Yes. I figured out how to turn the page on some of these tooltips. Yeah. So like I only had an hour with it, and the first hour of an Anno game, you know, you're literally just trying to get up to your second tier of workers and needs. So you can go kind of like harvest some of the more sustainable resources and stuff. Also, like, I'm not that interested in Rome. Should have been one of the first signs I wasn't a dude. with the how many times do you think about the Roman Empire meme? That's not a particular power fantasy of mine to be a Roman governor or whatever. So, like, you know, it just with the serial numbers filed off, it's just like I'd rather be playing like 1800 because that is, you know, a little bit more, you know, there's the industrial age kind of thing is more interesting to me.
This game looks very pretty. Is it a graphics upgrade over 1800 or
yes,
or yeah, 118 whatever? Yeah.
Anno 1800 came out. Oh man, they have so many expansions. That had to have been like 2020, I think. 2019. Yeah. So 6 years on the, but Anno 1800 also looks really good.
So yeah. It's not a slouch.
I don't know how good you need a city builder to look, honestly. Hmm. Yeah.
That is fair. But I think there is something to like, you know, creating this whole city and then being able to zoom out to a pretty vista and take it all in.
The only city builder I can think of where the aesthetics were completely necessary and knocked it out of the park was Frostpunk.
Fair. But,
an hour of Anno 117, not enough to get a sense. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff. I guess new to me and relatively recent was Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This came to Game Pass recently, in the same universe as Deep Rock Galactic, but a Vampire Survivor like, where you're, you know, isometric perspective, automatically shooting and targeting as you move your miner around. That is the digging through rocks kind of miner. Mm-hmm. And the big difference is that in Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, you can mine through any of the walls that happen to be around. And a significant part of the game is collecting resources from those walls, or from, you know, from that rock to then, purchase upgrades. And same kind of thing, like when you level up, you're offered 3 different upgrades. You pick a miner to start, But at the start, you only have one miner unlocked. Eventually, you get all four that are in Deep Rock Galactic.
Okay.
They have a starter weapon. And then at, I think, level increments of five or so, you'll get the option to add a new weapon. Mm-hmm. And then the level ups in between are all either upgrades specific to one of the weapons or upgrades that are across a weapon type.
Okay.
And you have hordes of their, you know, spider bugs. I forget what they call them.
You're the one who's played the most of this.
Glyphids. They're glyphids. There we go.
Okay.
So, you know, waves of those, screen filling waves of those bugs. And to its credit, it's run incredibly smoothly, no matter how much is on screen. Things get pretty chaotic as you level up. It never quite reaches the level of broken that I feel like Vampire Survivor got to.
Okay.
But then again,
is that good or bad? Because the brokenness of Vampire Survivors is the
that's
appeal.
The point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's what you're trying to do. I think there is a much shallower, longer on ramp for Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, though, where maybe a little bit to the fact that it suffers for it, but you know, everything can be upgraded between runs. And you unlock new gear for each miner. Like I said, you unlock the miners themselves. You can change what the miner's starting weapon is and some of their different perks. And so all of this builds to the point where, you know, you're playing on Hazard 1 is the difficulty level. You grind up enough gear, you unlock Hazard 2 about the time that your gear is ready for Hazard 2, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So maybe once you get up to higher hazard levels, it'll be as crazy as Vampire Survivor. But the difficulty of an individual run is not meaningfully changing as I'm working my way up through these hazard levels, because they are pretty much in lockstep with the gear upgrades. So it's one of those things where, you know, there might be more going on the screen at any given moment, and that's kind of fun. But they're like, you know, in terms of how much I am having to do or the difficulty or decisions, et cetera, I haven't seen too much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. It's more like a treadmill.
Little bit. Well, I was going to say, I don't know if that just means that the game is like, if my competency level is growing alongside the difficulty of the game, but it's a survivor, like how much could there be, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not finding an incredible amount of build diversity.
I'm trying to decide if there's a hole in the market for a deliberate survivors game. I don't know that there is.
This I'm trying to remember how old this is. Hold on, we're in the store page.
It's not very old. It's
Like it was announced a long time ago, though. Maybe it didn't come out until recently.
Yeah, it came out like last week. It came out on the 17th.
No, it has to. That has to just be on Xbox. Was it out on other stuff?
On Steam, it's early like access. That too. Or? I think it's been in early access for like a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, that always muddies the waters. The other thing is that something that I could have seen making sense when it was in early access is a ton of the like barks and lines, both from the miners and from like the alert guy, your mission control guy, they're just ripped straight from the base game.
Okay.
I would believe it if you said it was the same sound file.
Play on the hits.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. They've got an IP built up, so cash in on it maybe. But also, I don't know. It just felt weird to have these lines that I've heard hundreds of times in this other game pop up in Survivor.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if this was like kind of like an internal game jam that they did.
Yeah. Then,
I would believe that in a heartbeat. Yeah.
And then turned it into something bigger, put more resources behind it. But yeah, kind of gratuitous if they don't update that sort of thing a little bit.
No.
Yeah, which, you know, I guess it is okay to have a game that is, you know, oh, here's something kind of fun, put it out, people can enjoy it. You know, I got it free on Game Pass, so, or, you know, through, I got it through Game Pass, not free. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so maybe it's okay to have a little game like this, but the extensiveness of those upgrade trees and the resource treadmill, mm-hmm. Makes it feel like they were trying to do something that was a, you know, living game, live yeah. service game, whatever. So, nowhere did I see the option to buy resources, but the structure has been live serviceified.
Yeah,
I see.
You know what? Actually, I take that back, because there was something about they just put out a new pack of skins to celebrate the launch, the After Hours pack, which has each of the miners like in leisure wear or something. I can't tell. So yeah, maybe that was the play. And there's not enough depth there to support that. Yeah. At least as far as I've played so far.
I had a question. How long is like a given run in this game?
So pretty quick. Every run I've seen so far is 5 stages. Each stage leading up to the end, you're just trying to kill enough enemies to draw out an elite, and then you kill the elite and get on the mining vehicle. I don't know what to call it, to drill you down to the next level, which is interesting because you can lose a run by taking too long to get to the extraction vehicle.
Okay.
After you beat the boss. But that's very much a thing in Deep Rock.
Yeah. Galactic, that's part of the loop.
Yeah. In this case, however, it always kind of drops the same distance away from you. So it's, you know, whereas in Deep Rock Galactic, you kind of know where it's going to come down, or know like how far you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And getting there can be a little more complex. This is a little more simple. But anyway, so 5 stages, and then the final stage has some unique objective, either killing a very difficult boss, or extracting a certain number of different minerals or what have you. There's all kinds of stuff. And each individual piece takes only, I would say, 4 or 5 minutes, maybe not even. But there is no save function. So you can, you know, I get interrupted gaming all the time. And so, you know, I've quote unquote lost runs because I had to get up and do something, and there just was not an option to save it. And then this is something I haven't touched on. I've played a significant amount of this through xCloud on my Steam Deck.
Okay.
And I would say this is a fantastic Steam Deck game, except if I have to set it down, it times out. And you know, I lose my progress. Now, it still gives you rewards for however far you got. So that's a small kindness. But yeah, it just feels odd that for a game that's broken into bespoke stages, that there wouldn't be the option to save between stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I don't like that.
Yeah,
yeah, these types of games like aren't meant to be like, I don't know. Like, because Vampire Survivors, I guess you just pause, right? And the game freezes.
It's a great Steam Deck game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit weird that they can't do that here.
I could buy it on Steam and pause that, but since I'm playing through the xCloud streaming app, which, you know, it's reserved a machine for me or whatever, and so if I set the Steam Deck down for more than 5 minutes or so, it you know gives back that space. So that is a problem unique to xCloud. And I imagine you can pause, but then again, you know, also if you want to open up another app, you know, screw you, because you're gonna lose your progress.
Okay. So that might not be a problem with the game per se, maybe.
Yeah. It's a problem. Well, it is.
Sounds like a problem with Microsoft.
I don't know enough to say how hard it would be to put in a save game, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a ton of pain. And like you said, for what is effectively a game jam game, they just didn't think it was worth it. And you know, in its natural state, yes, I could see how, oh, you just pause it and don't close the application and you're going to be fine. But it feels like something that is so standard in games now that, you know, I'm in the edge case that's hurt by not having it. So, and yes, it's an edge case, but also it seems like kind of a layup.
I don't know. You should be able to stop playing a game if you want to and come back to it
Yeah.
It just seems pretty basic to me. Yeah.
I would agree if it's like something you're running on your own computer, but it's like, yeah, if you're doing this through streaming of some kind, other companies like in charge of the game, I can understand why they don't do that. But then,
It just goes back to what you said. It's a Microsoft problem. It's like this, a game and service mismatch.
It's sometimes nice to own what you have.
I'm not too worked up about it because, like I said, you get the resources for however far you got, and you know runs are generally pretty short. So I'm not. I don't feel like I'm losing too huge of an investment, even if I'm right at the end and I have to close it down. Fun little game. And it's a great podcast game, by the way. I've actually closed out two different things I was listening to while playing this. So that's been productive. it's good for what it is. The live service-ification feels to its detriment.
Yeah.
There either needs to be less of that or more content to justify it.
Yeah, that's a bummer, especially in comparison to the thing that they're imitating, where it's like does not have any of those problems.
Not at all. Like,
here's more content for free. Enjoy.
Here's Vampire Survivors got it in one.
Here's a new character that plays entirely different. We have infinite numbers of them.
Yep. Cool. So that's Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. Let's see. I am finished with my run of Elden Ring.
Okay.
Because I guess the way I can say that, I had gotten my sorcerer build all the way to the Elden Beast, and banged my head against it for a while. Banged my head against it with summons, and eventually just decided, screw it. I'll look up a video.
Yeah.
It's
not a great boss fight.
It is. Well, and so I did the Lord of the Frenzied Flame path
by accident.
All except for one part. To get to the three fingers, I had to look up how to open the door,
right? But
everything aside from that, it was I think I got to the point where Melina, you know, talks about what her plan is for getting you access. And I didn't like that. And then she's like, oh, but if you don't do it this way, you know, babies are going to stop being born. Mm-hmm. I was like, have you seen this world? It's kind of fucked. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You're in line with Gary. That was Gary's.
That's funny. Yeah.
So when I say accidentally is like people will just kind of like follow that because it seems like, oh, I'm going to go in and see the three fingers and there's going to be a boss fight or whatever, but you just kind of go in and then get marked. And then there's a way to undo it, but it involves, beating one of the, beating two of the challenge bosses. You've got to, get a special golden needle that Mikkola made, and then use it after beating Placidusax, the big time dragon at the center of crumbling Faramazula. And just like, it's not very obvious how to do that. So like they end up locked into the Lord of Frenzy Flame when they would have, done the goaded ending, which is, Ronnie's.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I lost track of all Ronnie's stooges.
Yeah.
They kind of, you meet them all and they scattered to the four winds and I never could track down any except for one again. Mm-hmm. Actually, I found a second, the wolf guy. Never got around to going back to see him through.
You missed a bunch of content if you didn't do her shit.
Oh no.
Yeah.
There are other playthroughs where I might, because to finish this run through. So, you know, went down the Frenzied Flame path. I stand by it as a choice for the end of the game.
Yeah.
The most soul wrenching part of it came at that door that I mentioned, where basically Melina says, like, it's the door, it's me.
She begs you. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was all fine, right? Because theoretically it's like, well, I'm not going to sacrifice you.
Uh-huh.
But then she says goodbye to you and then says goodbye to Torrent.
Yep.
And I almost cried.
Yeah, no, she's heartbroken.
Oh, I stole her dog.
Her reindeer. Terrible. Her magical reindeer. I stole it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I got to the Elden Beast, was hitting a hard wall on that. The thought I had was, so basically you fight five bosses ish in a row, at the end of that. And I don't know if it's exactly the same for other paths. But the end is kind of a boss rush to the game's detriment.
Oh yeah. Regardless. I mean, you end up, it's going to be, Godfrey, and then Radagon and then the Elden Beast. Yeah.
Yeah. Godfrey, Radagon. I also got, the Ofnir.
Yeah. He's barely a boss.
And
yeah.
Then there was the cleric, whatever dude before him. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, the dragon place, the crumbling Ferrum Azula,
yeah,
fucking peak, like okay. No notes. That place was so freaking good.
That's divisive. Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Oh well, I guess some people can be wrong. I loved it. I was like, this is exactly. I don't know. It was exactly what I want from a Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
Is that the spot that's on the far east of the map, kind of disconnected from other things?
Yeah.
Yeah. I warped there after I kind of did my Frenzied Flame things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the standard path takes you there or not.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
cool.
You go there regardless after you light the forge.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Good. That means more people got to see it. So that was that. And then the beast cleric, whatever fight was amazing. And then it was just like too many bosses in a row after that. I went around and like kind of cleaned out some of the stuff that I hadn't checked out yet.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't really done the volcano manor. So I did that and I just kind of explored a bit and that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it was to the point where it's like, I'm not, unless I go grind souls or runes, whatever, I'm not going to get through this boss fight and I don't feel like grinding runes. So, yeah, called it a day, but I like my experience with the game was overwhelmingly positive. Mm. More important, however, is that Luke and Milo's experience with the game has been overwhelmingly positive.
Okay.
I think this was an idea suggested by the co-hosts of the level.
Yes, we talked about like, oh, it might be too much for them, you know, to execute what's demanded, but if they're just making decisions and pointing the exploration around, that might be a fun way for them to engage it.
Yes. So I have started a run with my 11-year-old and my 9-year-old doing exactly that, and it has been the most fun I have had in a long time. And like I said, I was feeling kind of burnt out from the whole boss rush, but going back and starting a new character and particularly like getting the shots called for me by someone who's going to choose weird, interesting stuff instead of optimal stuff is a ton of fun. So, Luke went samurai as a starting character.
Okay.
And I'm going to pull up a map because like their paths through even the early parts of the game were completely different.
Okay.
Like where they wanted to go, what they wanted to look at. By the way, both of them went right past the church at the start that gives you all the important stuff.
Oh, so you couldn't, and you didn't save them from themselves?
I kind of had to put my finger on the scales there. Oop. Sorry, my chair went from under me. So Luke was a samurai. He thought, you know, samurai, duh.
Yeah.
And he went to the fallen soldier's grave or something like that, like where you fight the...
Fight the
wolves, etc. Early on,
yeah.
Then he went east into that whole lake area, and we fought the dragon in there.
Okay, yeah, Aguila.
That gave us an item for like, you know, it said something about the Cathedral of Dragons. We're like, ooh, what's that? Because I had never found the dragon stuff in my playthrough.
Yes.
From there, he went and wandered around the beach, which eventually led us to the cave that takes you around to that first dragon chapel south of where you start.
Yeah.
And so that kind of formed his decision. He goes, okay, I'm going all in on dragon stuff. We beat Godrick the Grafted. Fucking Dragon Fist? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we are a samurai that is evolving into a faith-based dragon-themed fighter.
Okay.
which has been very fun. It is so interesting because, you know, I use that, the Uchi Katana, a lot.
Yeah.
But anytime you're in tight quarters, you have trouble with it bouncing off of walls, particularly that tower in Caelid that you got to climb up the side of.
Right.
And so having the Dragon Fist there as a weapon that works really well in tight quarters, the two complement each other surprisingly well. Mm-hmm. So that was Luke. Milo, he went, is it Warrior that has the twin scimitars?
I can't recall. I don't know the starting kits.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's Warrior, twin scimitars. And he went straight to the like root grave place. I don't know the right term for it, but the kind of the statue lights the way kind of west and above the beach to a little dungeon there. And we fought our way through that. And then he, where did he go? He might have gotten warped by the trap chest over into Caelid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So just all over the place. And then he found another one of those root dungeons that I had never found in my playthrough. So mm-hmm. we kind of got to discover that together. And he then, is getting really into the big, big, great swords.
Okay.
And, so we've migrated away from the twin weapons, which I thought was going to be the thing for the run. Over to a great sword, and he just loves queuing up on enemies, breaking their poise, and doing the big hits.
Are they watching each other play?
They are, yeah. Okay. So Milo, so I started with Luke first, and Milo said he didn't want to, and so Milo spent a good amount of time watching Luke, and then Milo changed his mind and decided he wanted to jump in. Mm-hmm. So Luke hasn't watched Milo as much just because he's been there, done that. It's old news.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I have to constantly remind them, like, we're playing Luke's character right now. Stop yelling advice.
You wouldn't want somebody ruining it for you.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. One note that I am, so pleased by is with the samurai, the sword art or, Ashes of War, whatever, is you sheathe the sword and then can do a big, like, fast attack out of that.
Yeah.
And Luke has dubbed that the shushwing. And so frequently you hear shushwing him, Dad.
Oh, it's Iado, son. That technique is called Iado.
Yep. It's almost like a randomizer of sorts, right? Uh-huh. Like just the choices that they make and the things. Oh, the other thing, this happened just yesterday. You get all these items off of people, and Milo very ponderously, he goes, Dad, why do you think so many people die with things in their laps?
Yeah, what's all these chairs?
Yeah, not even the chairs. It's just like his assumption was like there is something to, not just that there's a light on a body and that signifies there's something to loot here.
Yeah.
Like this must be specifically these people are dying with stuff in their laps, and there must be a reason for that. And I was like, you
a little
are going to be a future Bonfire Side Chat.
Yeah, a little Lurster. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. but yeah, I had to explain to him why that made me laugh so hard. But it's been good times. So that is my time with Elden Ring done with my run, I think. Who knows when I'll get the gumption. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how long the kiddos stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, you still have the DLC to do too.
I do. I don't own it yet, and you have to beat the challenge bosses to get into it, right?
You have to beat Radahn. And you have to beat Moog.
One of the weird, yeah.
Okay.
So
maybe
I don't know.
Yeah, been having a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really glad that you decided to take the plunge and play it with your kids that way. And I'm really happy they're enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, and there was Luke asked for me to turn the blood off, so. I didn't even thought about that, and there's an option for that in the menu. So,
cool.
You know, kudos to whoever thinks to put those little touches in there too.
Yeah.
That did not censor in any way Godric chopping his own arm off and then ripping off a dragon's head with the stump. So, thankfully, he didn't seem too worried about that. But you know,
was he okay?
Yeah, he was fine.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I think he was just so excited that we were progressing in that fight.
Yeah.
And then we skipped it every other time. So,
yeah. Oh, that rules.
I mean, I could go all day just giving little facts and thoughts. Like, Milo is all about summoning real people to help us.
Okay.
And Luke wants to do everything by himself. and just like you see all these little like differences and similarities,
yeah,
and unique perspectives played out as you watch other people play it.
It's such a perfect experiment, because like we talk about gamotypes, just like, okay, people fall into like psychographics or whatever, where, you know, almost specifically that divide of like, do you think summoning is legitimate, or do you think that, you know, it's, oh, if they built it into the game, can you use it? And that is fair game, versus I am not getting anything I want out of this unless I do it all by myself. Right. To see that divergence happen naturally and like not based on any prompting from the other. Right.
And Luke did do the summon of Roger for the first boss fight.
Yeah.
Is that Margit or?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah. And again, just the little things. We, you know, that took us some time. Took me some time, I guess. And at a certain point, Luke goes, I kind of feel bad for the sorcerer. He's just getting killed over and over.
We should institute.
Fuck you, kid.
We should institute a slaughter rule.
Yeah. Apparently, my incompetence is such that Luke is feeling bad for the NPC summons. Like Roger getting summoned in, like, let's go. Like, oh, this fucking guy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That's the big stuff I've been playing. I've been playing more Borderlands 4, but I feel like I should progress further before commenting more on it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe like on the other side of having like all the systems unlocked, because there's still pieces of the game or types of gear that I am yet to have. But still having a very good time with it. So
sweet.
That is on the list as well for another week, and that's me.
Okay. It's had a lot this time.
Yeah,
it was two things, but Elden Ring is a lot of things.
It is.
Within a thing.
Yeah,
went through three individual playthroughs in one episode here. So
multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, so I am opening Blue Sky to be able to reference the question, and am logged out of it on the computer.
Okay. I can read it for you. Any game
you can if you want. Yeah, sure.
Any game that gets big enough will spawn a string of imitators. That's not to denigrate them, though. What spiritual successors outshone their inspiration, either in part or in a whole?
You do an excellent me.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't trying to.
I'll take it, though.
Okay. Yeah. I did put the screenshot in.
I see it. Yes.
Okay, cool. What does Threnza say?
Threnza says, picking the low hanging fruit here, but I feel like Stardew Valley pretty easily eats the lunch of most, if not all of the Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons games.
Ah, man, it was shortly after we covered Stardew Valley on Watch Out for Fireballs. I was like, actually, I want to see what like a modern one of these looks like. So I got a Switch copy of one of the Story of Seasons games. Story of Seasons being like the original creator of Harvest Moon went off to make a similar series of games or whatever. And it was like just the most boring thing. Like, yeah, like just like everything was this like really bad 3D, you know, like it just, I don't know. It just didn't hit for me at all. It's like Stardew Valley is the distillation of that.
Cozy games can suck too.
Oh yeah. I think the majority of them do. The majority of anything is not good.
No, that is fair. That is fair.
But yeah, it is low hanging fruit, Threnza, but I think it is valid and worth mentioning. Let's see, Ben, what does Callum say?
Callum says, if we count Command & Conquer being a successor to Dune 2 rather than just further work from the same studio, I would go with that.
I guess those both were Westwood, weren't they?
Yeah, I'll allow it in a different franchise shell. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Shit. Yeah, I guess I always forget that those were made by the same studio. Yeah, and, you know, like, people talk about Dune 2 as being, like, the first kind of its you know, its kind of thing. But yeah, Command and Conquer definitely ate its lunch. Billy writes, Fortnite. I had Fortnite on my radar for a long time because of the base building zombie survival stees. However, when they made a little free-to-play version of PUBG, who knew they'd change the face of the gaming industry? Fucking not any of us.
Yeah. Biggest fast follow in history.
Oh my God. Yeah, I feel so bad for the PUBG guys. And like PUBG has an audience. Like that's a studio
it's
and publisher.
It's successful in its own right, but it has not become the everything machine that Fortnite is.
Yeah. I guess like, I don't know. You feel bad for them because of the money, but also they didn't have to become like fucking monsters.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't PUBG kind of a one guy show?
I don't know. I can't.
I'm trying to. At least there was like a kind of a bespoke figurehead of that dev.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Fortnite is a great example.
Yeah. Dennis, what does Fran say?
Yeah, we were talking about survivor likes this week. So, yeah. Vampire Survivors was inspired by a game called Magic Survival, but Vampire Survivors became the template for what that genre would be.
I had no idea. Vampire Survivors was the first of that kind of game that I had ever heard of.
Magic Survival. I don't recognize Magic Survival.
No. Yeah, it looks familiar. Hmm. Huh. I don't know. This one
more
also is
out, maybe.
Yeah. This one also is low hanging fruit, but I've got to say it. Guitar Hero is nothing but a historical footnote compared to Rock Band.
That is fair.
You know, like it's a little bit of the Dune 2 into Command and Conquer thing where like it's a studio who had their idea with Guitar Hero and made it and it got really popular, and then they parlayed that into what is the next evolution of our thing at a bigger publisher and all of that. And I know, Dennis, you were a Guitar Hero partisan for a little while.
I have Guitar Hero pajama pants.
Oh, wow.
The flying guitar playing skeleton from the loading screens on 3.
Okay. Oh, cool. It's
they're good pajama pants.
Yeah. Just like that year, 2007, when it was like within 3 weeks of each other, Guitar Hero 3 and Rock Band came out. It was like, whoa, it is so clear that one of these needs to exist and the other one has got to rapidly catch up. And they tried with World Tour, right? And they're weird.
One of these has multiple instruments and one doesn't. And there's not enough justification for one focused on guitar when it's all imitation by way of cheap plastic anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So like it is, yeah, I don't know. I'm always going to be the person who brings those up because I'm me. Yeah, I would say that is the case. Ben, how about you?
My first thought was already said, but the Stardew Valley one was what came to mind originally, where it's just like so much of an improvement. And then nothing has come to the same heights of Stardew Valley since, where it's like everything's trying to catch up with it.
Well, he keeps making it bigger. Like nothing can come out like out of the gate as anything that can touch Stardew Valley in terms of features.
Well, and that has a pretty active modding community as well, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Remember
people
would
be like full Pokemon
like,
mods. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good answers, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
There's three of us, but we only got two.
Oh,
answers.
Dennis. Shit. Shit. I was trying to get by without hearing you say. I apologize. I went in and did mine because I'm so used to doing mine first. Go ahead, Dennis.
You took the me reading the question and that just threw everything off.
We were off by one, yeah.
We were.
So Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I put it in the picture, Hollow Knight. Not that any of the games that it was imitating were bad or less than, but man, did Hollow Knight kind of make that Castlevania, Metroidvania, whatever genre have new life breathed into it and kind of has become the icon for that type of game since.
Yes. Yeah. In a way that it feels a little bit like it was destined to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they, I have fallen out of following it. Do they have a sequel for it yet or more coming?
Okay. Wait, you're talking about Hollow Knight?
Hollow Knight. Yes. I want to say there's a sequel coming or something. Sorry, I'm not doing a bit. I genuinely don't know.
Oh, no, no. So, Silk Song. That's what Silk Song is.
Oh. Oh, no. Shit. Why did I say hi? I meant Shovel Knight. God damn it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was like, whoa. Like, I don't mean to, like, I kind of wondered if this was an episode.
Oh my god.
I was like, we talked about it the last 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, no. I was literally looking. I mean, I've got Hollow Knight on the brain.
They have such similar names. Yeah.
Shovel Knight.
Yes.
Which now I got to check. Does Shovel Knight predate Hollow Knight?
Shovel Knight came out in like 2014, 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looking at the Steam page, it looks like they've just made a bunch of weird Shovel Knight skinned games.
Yeah,
like there's a whole like they've got like all kinds of like little spinoff games where you play as the other knights that you fight.
Okay, and I know there's like a board game that came out, and there's a weird like Droppy Well mobile game kind of deal, and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But
yeah.
Yeah, huh.
Yeah,
huh.
And like Shovel Knight isn't even like a Castlevania Metroid alike. That's more of a, it's a like a DuckTales Zelda 2 alike, almost without the role playing stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's probably a better touchstone for it.
Yeah, but that was definitely like, I don't know, like what did it supersede in terms of retro style? Like Shovel Knight is almost like the heir apparent to something like a Cave Story. Of like a retro indie platformer kind of deal.
I haven't thought about Cave Story in so long.
It's a good game.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
But yeah, just that like that old school 2D platformers, I think were pretty much considered dead.
Yeah.
You know, you just didn't, and this kind of started a wave of just amazing stuff on that front that
absolutely yeah
that we've seen going forward.
Mm-hmm. It definitely kickstarted, not obviated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now we are allowed to go forward.
Now we're allowed to go. Thank you everybody for answering. Even if I tried to stop you, if you want to participate, you can, follow us on Blue Sky at thelevelpodcast.bsky.social, and watch for them to go up on Monday afternoons. Thanks to Dennis.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about, the things that are going on in the world of games and how they make us feel. I'll start with a bummer. Dennis, what is going on with the Pokemon franchise?
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, proof that, the people making decisions at the top of the USA right now are completely, one, terrible, but two, stupid. The Department of Homeland Security has used the Pokemon theme song to show off a bunch of their kidnapping videos.
Gotta catch them all, referring to human beings. Yeah, like
the joke is there of, you know, they're catching them all or something like that.
Yeah. The modern day iteration of slave catchers, by the way, ISIS.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, celebrating that and doing a cheesy, oh, it's like Pokemon thing is just ghoulish.
They're trying to be funny, and all they're doing is making people as debased as them laugh.
Yes. Yeah. Also, how stupid could you be to kick the hornet's nest of Nintendo like this?
It's the most litigious company.
Yes. I'm not holding my breath for anything meaningful to happen because this is the worst timeline. But to have Nintendo go apeshit on the Department of Homeland Security for taking the Pokemon theme song without permission and for... man, just really brand hurting kind of ways.
Oh no, it's awful.
Yeah. Like to Nintendo, if Nintendo doesn't want people doing like let's plays of their shit, they certainly don't want people celebrating, just being terrible to other humans with it. So,
yeah.
And they are very good at litigating, as you said, Kay. So I don't know if something's going to come of this. But man, that is not the company you want to get on the wrong legal side of.
You would like to think that they would take some kind of action. I think the intimidation is very, very strong, you know, especially when you look at, when you look at how petty the administration is, and the fact that it is an outside company, and he can just decide, we'll sanction Nintendo. It's a Japanese company. Right. Very, you know, very, very bad for us. Very bad for their, you know, they're hurting Japan by picking on me, your favorite president.
Yeah.
The shit writes itself. If nothing else, though, this does highlight that the underlying conceit of Pokemon is deeply horrifying. That you are taking these intelligent beings and capturing them and forcing them to battle has always been a little bit weird.
It's cockfighting for children. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Department of Homeland Security made it that much weirder.
Okay. Okay. Let's shade up from. Let's go up to what Ben brought.
Okay.
What is Kojima up to?
Apparently an announcement where he's given a whole bunch of updates about what he's doing, but I just wanted to zone in on one, which was that Hideo Kojima dropped a trailer for one of his new games called OD. And it's like a 3-minute long trailer from it. A lot of it in first person perspective, a lot of people comparing it to a PT, like a like, or a something to kind of fulfill the promise that set up. The thing that's ambiguous about it, I guess, is to what degree Jordan Peele is involved in it. Because I guess one of the quotes was saying, Kojima was saying the difference between his type of horror and Jordan Peele's. Specifically saying that he was just scared by the sound of a knocking on the door. The trailer itself, it features like a door, somebody putting a card through it, and then the first person player doing kind of like a seance at a set of candles. It looks sufficiently like spooky, but it's like one of those things where I would much rather play it than see a video of gameplay. So anyway, not much to say, I guess, other than it looks cool and it's coming sometime.
It's cool. It's cool to know that like that PT energy is going somewhere. I'm also curious about the involvement of Jordan Peele. How much is there? But yeah.
I don't know. A good creative mind on any project can be a boon. If there's the egos to go along with it, it could cause trouble. But I generally trust what Peele does. Like he seems like a fairly reasonable person.
Yeah, he hasn't made a bad movie, and he is real collaborative. Like produces stuff, but I don't know.
Not that any game needs to look this good, but I had the moment of like the thumbnail for the trailer. I legitimately did not realize was a video game until pressing play.
Right.
So good on them, I guess. That was cool.
The only reason when I phrased this as like a step up in the bummer, like I think the event where this was revealed, was this in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, I'm not sure. It was an Xbox event.
Okay. Yeah, I need to look here and see. Okay, that was last month is when he did the Saudi Arabia thing. I was talking about like the creative potential of AI or something, nonsense. I guess this event was the one where he like unveiled the Hideo Kojima credit card. Like he's starting to shade into some like, I don't know, man, you don't need that.
Wait, where's he going to go next? America?
I guess. Jesus. I'm curious about it. Curious about OD. Have been, but his teasers never have anything to do with the actual thing. So I'll take it. I'll take more details when they're closer to the thing. And my next one here is more of like a thing exists story, but it just, I kind of forgot about this. So the Telltale Games people are, I think last year they announced that they, with a trailer, kind of like a narrative, like interactive story / like strategy game called Dispatch. Do you remember us talking about this?
This was a Summer Games Fest announcement.
Yeah, it was like the one thing when it was announced that it was like, oh, this actually is like really, this looks really cool.
Yeah.
Telltale stuff, like the lead character is just a normal guy in a world of superheroes who like works superhero dispatch. So you have to like figure out who to send where, and that affects your dialogue options and the way the story goes. Lead character is voiced by Aaron Paul, Jesse from Breaking Bad. Yeah, that's coming out next month. I believe the first one is on the 22nd. But then like it's going to be episodic, but it's going to be weekly instead of like starting at a month and then slowly becoming like 4 or 5 months in between.
I hate this so much.
You do?
I don't know why. It just makes my skin crawl. I could never really get into the episodic nature of the Telltale like choose your mm-hmm. adventure games.
Yeah.
And the idea of making that a weekly thing is just, I don't know. My skin is crawling. It's live serviceifying this kind of story game.
I mean, you buy it. It's not live service. It's just like, oh, if you want to play it, it's going to be spooled out over the course of this. You can just wait until it's all over and then play it all in a go.
I kind of want to have that level of control over my experience.
Yeah. I
kind of like this idea because it's like the whole thing of like, you know, people rushing when a game comes out and gets to the end. And there's this like knowledge gap where they're like, oh, I already know the entire story of the game. And you're like just starting. Uh-huh. Like, I like how this kind of gates that. So it's like, yeah, everyone will be, you know, like see the cliffhanger relatively at the same time.
So wait, this knowledge gap thing that you don't like is going to be forced to happen 5 times over, 10 times over. And that's better somehow.
No, think about it. I'm talking about like starting to play Elden Ring and a streamer has already beat it because they've played it for 48 hours.
And but I mean, that's going to happen with every single one of these episodes.
But the difference will be an hour and not like 48 hours.
But they reach the end of the content that's available and they have as much information as you have.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like how streaming television is going away from the binging. The binge model, the Netflix binge model, back to weekly, you know, like with Disney. They should probably keep your Disney Plus canceled.
The reasons for that are all cynical bullshit KPI reasons, not because that's what people actually want.
People really seem to enjoy like having it be event viewing though. From my experience, like with people watching it, like with my experience watching people like talk about it as like, you know, like having the cliffhanger as opposed to watching it, like it's as opposed to it being composed, like it is, you know, a 10-hour movie, like every, you know, like so many streaming series have been.
So,
right.
So like, you know, Jen and I watched Severance the first season long after it had all come out. So we got to kind of binge through it. Uh-huh. And then we watched the second season live every week as it was released. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I didn't feel like my experience was meaningfully different, but I don't want to yuck anyone's yum too hard if they enjoy the game by discussing and fan theorying more.
It's also the only game that's doing this. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a game I'm really like otherwise really excited for.
So why can't
they tailor everything to my specific wants?
So it's weekly, so you only have to wait 7 weeks because the first two parts are coming out on the first day. Yeah.
I'm just excited because it seems like it's something new for a video game. So it's like, at worst, it doesn't work, and then we're But it could be something cool.
I don't know. Like I said, it reeks of shitty KPI chasing.
I don't know, maybe
the game will justify it. Maybe that'll be great in the community interaction, whatever. But I just that is my first reaction.
Yeah. No, I have my ear to the ground for every single manipulative like tactic kind of thing. I think this is cool, but that's just me.
All right. We'll wait 7 weeks and see.
I mean, I'll pick it up and play it. It's like an hour a week. And then you can play it all at once and tell me.
we'll spoil it every week on the podcast.
Yeah,
until
yeah.
then.
I will have to, guys, I got to go on a 7-week hiatus.
Yeah.
While this game comes out.
I'm going to illustrate why this model works.
It is the K performance indicator. Thank you very much.
um How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Let's button.
The credit.
Thank you so much for listening to level number 559. We really appreciate you taking the time. What we want you to do, leave ratings or reviews wherever you can. If you can leave a comment on this, like if you're listening to it on Patreon and you want to leave comments and stuff we say, you can do that now. Like there's a little comment section for patrons to get in there. But yeah, ratings, reviews, telling your friends, all of that. It is all stuff that we appreciate. We still don't have our panel time for the Portland Retro Games Expo, but we'll announce that when we get it there, when Gary and I will be talking. And yeah, is there anything I'm forgetting? I can be a short admin.
You do have a meetup at the Portland Retro.
We do the Saturday night at Quarter World. Keep your badge from the show with you. That way you won't have to pay to get in. Not like for our thing, but just to get into the establishment in general. Yeah.
Dope.
Cool. Well, I've been Kay. You can find me on Blue Sky at K.Zone.
I've been Dennis. You can find me on Blue Sky at Furia Games.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles.
So many titles.
Okay. I have one. I have Ghost Rider, but blue. Okay.
Appreciate that.
All right. Well, you said you had a bunch, Dennis. What do you have?
Yeah, I've got Eaten by Bears Simulator. I have Congealed into Mr. Clean. Indulgently, I have Shushwingham, Dad.
Shushwingham, Dad.
Which, by the way, is a bear to type with autocorrect.
Yeah, no.
I have Cozy Games Can Suck Too.
Okay.
And then one right at the buzzer, I've got K Performance Indicator.
Okay. And Ben, how about you?
I got nothing.
Okay. By laughs, it's the Getting Eaten by Bears Simulator.
I'm happy with that.
Okay.
I had it set as just Eaten by Bears Simulator.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I want to go, how do you feel about Shushwingham, Dad?
I mean, I always take dad referential stuff.
Okay, that's cute, and the stories of playing that game with your kid are fun. Any opposition to that?
No,
I have it stylized as SHA-SCHWING.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
And then M with the apostrophe in front of it.
Extra swing.
M.
Yes. Yeah. Swing them, Dad. Cool. Well, it is decided.